Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
The best bits of Joy Drive.
Well, now, we're all aware of the risks of driving under the influence of alcohol, but some new research suggests that driving whilst tired also carries some risk and maybe just as dangerous as driving while drunk. Well, Madeline Spracer is a lecturer in psychology from Central Queensland University, has been looking into this. Madeline, welcome to Joy Drive.
Thanks for having me.
Madeline, do we know how many crashes are caused by fatigue compared to, say, those by alcohol?
We do. So we know that crashes with fatigue as a causal factor make up about 20% of all crashes in Australia. So, pretty significant proportion of those crashes.
Has there been any changes in terms of, like, do we know if crashes are increasing because of alcohol, or are they decreasing, or are they staying pretty much the same?
Yeah, so we know that crashes caused by drink driving or being under the influence of alcohol have really declined in recent years. So, you know, over the past sort of 20, 30 years with the advent of drink driving campaigns and legislation and breath testing, we know that the likelihood of driving under the influence and therefore crashes has decreased significantly. What's really interesting, though, is that we haven't seen a similar decrease in the amount of crashes caused by fatigue over that same period.
Why is that? Why do you think that is?
To me, this really speaks to the amount of public education around fatigue driving. You know, there's a great deal of information provided to people about the dangers of drink driving and what that looks like and, you know, why it's important not to drink drive. But also, you know, enforcement. We have a real capability to detect alcohol in drivers that we just don't have for fatigue at this stage. So, you know, we've seen those declines in alcohol-related driving crashes, but not the same for fatigue.
That's quite interesting because I suppose, you know, if we go out, we have a few drinks, we know, you know, we're told we can have, two drinks in the first hour, then one each hour, what have you. We know we can measure it. We can measure our blood alcohol if we get caught by a breathalyzer. You know, if it's 0.05 or above, we're in trouble. So we've got a number that we can aim for. But I'm just thinking about sleep in itself and being sleep deprived. It's not like I wake up and I do sort of a saliva test and it says, right, Warren, you're tired, you haven't had enough sleep, you can't drive. How are you going to measure that sort of thing?
Well, that's exactly right. And that's, you know, part of the problem with fatigue is, you know, it can be a bit of an amorphous concept for figuring out whether you're right to drive or not. So that's why we've done this systematic review of basically all the literature that's available looking at performance impairment when you are fatigued. And essentially what we found was that we can essentially use the amount of prior sleep someone's had as a bit of a proxy for figuring out if they're right to drive or not.
So how much sleep can you go without before you know whether you are going to be impaired driving-wise?
Well, if we think about the level of impairment that we're sort of willing to accept at a societal level for alcohol, so at 0.05 blood alcohol concentration, we see about a doubling of the risk of a vehicle crash. And so if we were looking at a point where we see that same doubling for sleep, it's at about 5 hours of prior sleep. So if you've had less than 5 hours sleep the night before, you essentially are at that same risk as if you were over the legal limit for alcohol.
We're chatting with Madeline Spracer, lecturer in psychology from Central Queensland University, about a new study showing that driving on less than 5 hours of sleep is just as dangerous as drunk driving. Madeline, is that once we get to the 5 hours or less of sleep, our crash risk increases, or does it increase with, say, 7 hours of sleep as well? Like, is it the 5 hour point that all of a sudden it just changes?
No, so it's not like a go, no-go situation, right? From a scientific perspective. We know that, you know, essentially if you're having, you know, even less than sort of 8 hours, even for some people with 7 hours of prior sleep, that's enough to see a bit of impairment in their driving performance. But really it's more of a sliding scale. So if we're looking at, you know, 7 hours of prior sleep compared with 5 hours, compared with 3 hours, you're going to see a pretty linear relationship with that level of impairment.
No, go ahead, please.
Just if we're looking at, you know, essentially drawing a line in the sand on what level of risk we're interested in preventing on our roads, you know, as I said, we've accepted a certain level of risk due to alcohol-related impairment. So if we're looking at a similar level of risk, we'd be looking at that 5 hours.
5 hours. What about people like shift workers? You know, I know some shift workers that work overnight and then they'll jump in the car. Essentially, I suppose they've had 0 hours sleep on perhaps their first shift of night shift. What can they do in that case?
Yeah, and this is where it becomes really tricky. So, you know, I guess the question then becomes, would it be reasonable to expect everyone to have at least 5 hours sleep before driving? And particularly in the case of shift workers, you know, potentially there is an organisational level of responsibility to make sure that their workers are right to drive before they get in the vehicle on their way home.
Do you think we'll ever get some sort of measure as to, you know, yes, you are too fatigued to drive? Do you think that scientifically could be possible?
Well, there is some research currently being undertaken. I'm not involved in it, so I don't know all the details, but I know that there has been some interest in the scientific community in evaluating some type of a biomarker. But, you know, I think we're still a little bit away from that becoming at a side of the road testing, like breath testing.
Madeline, what we're now to with your research?
So we're currently undertaking a consultation exercise, so with members of the community and also road safety stakeholders, looking at, okay, well, what do we do with this information? Is there a way that we could potentially regulate fatigue driving, and how might that look?
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for sharing it with us. So until we know further, 5 hours or less, perhaps don't drive.
That's it.
Fantastic, Madeline. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us on Joy Drive today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. That's Madeline Spicer, lecturer in psychology from Central Queensland University.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne. Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.